Hey, it's showtime. What's up? No matter what time of day it is, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hello. Hey, it's Phil Grbaczek. I'm super stoked to be with you. Today, we're talking about the 1440 principle, right? 1440. Now, what the heck is this? Well, Liz Neat is going to tell us. I can tell you that this book is fantastic. It is a super quick read. It is super fun. Some of the chapters are a whole paragraph long, which is really funny to me because, you know, those were some of the most impactful things. One of the things that Liz says in this book that I love is she says, life is not a group activity. So many opportunities are born from not asking permission. That's a quote from Belinda Johnson. And this book really, it surprised me because I'm a self-improvement junkie and yet I learned stuff from this. So I'm super jacked to have my friend Liz Neat. What's up, Liz?
Oh, you make my life, Phil.
You're kind, but this is great. So first, I love that it's orange. So you might guess that, right? So I love that it's orange, but I love that it's easy to read, which is super important. So, but you've been talking about this for a long time. The question I got to ask first is why now? Why did you decide now is the time to publish this book?
Well, there's a little bit of physician heal thyself. You know, I'm a speaker, I'm a coach. I've been doing this for 11 years and I got the 1440 principle. It was around 2010. The country was fully into a recession. And I had this idea that there's 1,440 minutes in a day. And what if we treated our time like money? Would we pay our time to these various things? And it took me a long time to get there. It took me a decade to finally give myself permission to write this idea out, this thing that had totally changed my life. Because before I started my business, I was pretty disempowered. I was a person who, I was always trying to get it right. I was always looking at other people to see, okay, am I doing what I should be doing? And it wasn't until I found this idea, it was gifted to me divinely, I believe, that I finally moved in the direction of what I should be doing. And so this was just me taking the lessons that I've learned in the last 10 years from this idea and giving it to others.
Wow. It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. I love the short action-packed chapters. I mean, that's really, really fun. One of the things in one of your postscripts, you say you're always paying to something. And this is one of the ones that struck me the strongest. It says, I can always make more money. Through investments or collaboration, I can find a way to grow financial wealth. But time is a different story. You get one chance to spend those minutes and whatever choices will be your result. You have 1,440 minutes every day. Are you excited? Are you planning your future? Are you owning every day? And I think that sums up the entire principle, right? Is that we have to own our day. So talk to me, Liz, like what is your day? What does a typical day for Liz Neat look like?
You know, it feels like a secret. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a natural entrepreneur. So when I get up in the morning, you know, I feel like I'm in a playground. What are the things that I want to enjoy? What are the things I want to play with? Do I want to write something? Do I want to video myself talking about something? And I look at my world, and sometimes it's about current events and the things that I've heard people say. And I think about how I can influence people in my community. And, you know, I have big goals. I have big goals of viewership and readership and the number of people that I want in an audience as a speaker. But what I feel in the micro sense is that my job is to encourage people to find a way to amplify my voice. So I get up, I video or I write or I do such things. I coach people. If I'm lucky, I get a chance to get on stage and speak. And then the guilty secret is that I don't work 12 hours a day. I don't work 10 hours a day. I work a really hard and joyful 5 to 6 hours. And then I spend time with my family. I spend time in creation. I love to work out. I think that being healthy is part of being a really masterful creator. So I have time devoted in my day to making sure that I'm healthy. I love to cook and cook things that are really flavorful and healthy. So that's kind of what my day looks like. I don't know. It feels, when I describe it, it feels like it's a vacation a little, like, oh, 5 hours a day and then you work on yourself. But it really has worked for me for a long time.
Yeah. Well, so if I think about this, right, I just jump back into corporate. I've been here about 6 months. And between meetings and lunchtime and grabbing a cup of coffee and, you know, kind of the non-work work, meaning non-revenue producing activities, 5 to 6 hours seems like a lot of time. Yeah. To me, right? Like, as I really look at that and the fact that you include yourself, like include taking care of yourself in that day, I think is really important. And because often we give face time, right? We spend time with people because we think we need to, not because we really want to. And that's actually one of the things you talk about as well, is stop investing or really, I guess, throwing away the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days on things that don't bring us joy and that don't produce revenue, don't benefit our business. So where did you, I mean, you have this story about this woman. I have to tell you, that story really made me cry because I say that I'm guilty. I have someone like that in my life right now that gets way too much of my head time.
Yeah.
Way too much of my brain time. So talk to us about, you know, about that person that really you were given too much of your brain time to, too much of your energy, too much of your 1442, and how you fix that.
Well, it's interesting that you use the word investment, because that is probably the most powerful word in the 1440, that your time can be invested like money. So you put your time towards things that ultimately yield a result. It's never one-to-one. So if you work out, you're investing in a future of health. If you spend time with a friend, you're investing in your state of mind, their state of mind, the energy that flows out from your relationship. So I had a friend, and you know, someone that I actually still love very much because she's part of a lot of amazing memories and growth. But we had reached a point where it was very unhealthy, and I was being disingenuous. I wasn't telling her how I felt. I wasn't confronting it. And there was a lot of fear in the relationship because she was such a close friend to me, and she represented kind of like that family, that hybrid of friends and family. And to be honest, she scared me. I hadn't found my voice, and her voice was really strong, and I was afraid of what the backlash would be. And so I had an exercise, and it took me a second to figure this out, where over the course of a couple weeks, she said something to me. I didn't respond right away and create space for my own voice. And then it kicked off a series of me gossiping, avoiding her, just thinking negatively about her, remembering negative moments in the past, confusion and anxiety. And I never was able to say anything to her. And then we went out to dinner, and I pretended that I was fine. And then it hit me, how many minutes have I paid towards not expressing myself, gossiping, avoiding my feelings, thinking about the past and not forgiving? And, you know, it was around 400 minutes. And I thought, would I pay $400 to a person or to the ideas of gossip and unforgiveness? I mean, I would never do that. It's pure destruction. Why would I invest my time in something that's destructive in my best life? And so, the funny part is that when I finally did find my voice, you know, I wasn't very good at it at the time. So I was basically like, you make me feel bad when I talk to you. And the relationship really, it didn't last much longer than that, because at that point I had gone too far for the truth to work well. But it taught me something really important about everything in my life, that I need to pay my time towards things that will yield a result that I want. And most importantly, in relationships, because that creates ripples for everything in the world. Like, the relationship is where everything's at. It's a core in the 1440.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. I totally love that. I mean, relationship, I put relationships in the center.
Yeah.
Of all I do, right? I
think they are anyway.
Yeah. Well, they but I intentionally, yeah, right, have to put it there, because yeah, I think whether we say it or not, I agree with you that they are. But I think so many of us, we neglect that. We think, well, they're not. In which case, then what's in the core really is that relationship neglect, as opposed to the relationship itself. Huh?
And really the damage, Phil, to you of, yeah, be not speaking your truth is pretty big. It's pretty big because the world needs you to be your best core self. And the more time you spend not speaking the lessons and the epiphanies, the ideas, the worse off we all are. So I know that you're in the middle of kind of in a powered space, but it took years of admitting things to yourself in the mirror and, you know, the first step choices where you decide, okay, I'm going to try to run, or I'm going to try to lift. I'm going to be the guy that doesn't have all the answers. Even taking a step back from the things that you had become comfortable with and becoming uncomfortable naturally so that you could be who you are, that benefited everybody. So to me, the relationship, when you say relationship, I think it really is, not to be cheesy coach, you know, let's dig deep and sit with this, but, you know, the relationship with yourself is core. And often, you know, when I'm coaching people, I coach entrepreneurs and I coach, you know, people who want to make changes, and they want to focus on the change when the real conversation needs to happen with yourself, to be completely and totally honest with yourself and then hold yourself to a standard, the standard that you already have.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I know it's deep. It's so deep.
It is deep, and it's important, right? And I think it's really important, and it is central to the 1440 principle. It's also central, I think.
You make my life every single time you lift that book up. Oh, I just want you to know. Like,
well,
fully.
You're welcome. So, I think it's important, though. I think people need to see this. And one of the things you talk about in here is something I've been really working on a lot. Like the last 90 days has really been hard. And that's kind of overcoming some of that self-hatred and really focusing on the gratitude. Because, you know, the joke, and I would use air quotes around joke, the joke is that we're our own worst critic. But the reality is, like, we say stuff to ourselves that we would never say to another person. I mean, I'm totally guilty of that. And you close up on page 47. You say you have a decision to make. You can be that person that only sees what needs to change. And I'm going to raise my hand and say, that's been me. Or to live in gratitude for all that you have. So I've been doing this, right, every day for about 90 days or so. I've been intentionally focusing on three things every day.
I saw your post today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I mean, I have been intentional about this. And even on days that I don't post, I mean, I do slow down. And I give myself space to really think about those three things. Sometimes it takes, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. Sometimes, honestly, it takes longer, not because I don't have a lot to be grateful for, but because I really want to think, like, is this the biggest gratitude that I have today? Like, is this something that is in my head, in my heart, that I'm going to focus on today? And, like, today I talked about some big stuff, like big things that I'm really grateful for, but often it's little things, you know, it's little things like, you know, that maybe I do take for granted every day. So talk to me about how gratitude kind of rewires us and how it makes us even stronger.
Well, so the interesting thing, the connection, I actually made some really important connections for myself as I wrote the 1440 principle. And one of them was the connection between self-hatred and gratitude. And hatred is a really strong word. And when I use that word when I'm coaching or when I'm on the stage, often the reaction is, well, I don't hate myself. I mean, hatred, that's you know, I just don't tolerate this or that. And the mistake or the big lie is that you have to dislike something in order to change it. And what I've realized is that the opposite of picking yourself apart, which is so easy to do because you're in your head, you are in the space of you 100% of the time. And so you can see yourself and all of the negative things, or I mean, negative is not a good word, but the things that you don't like about yourself. And there's piles and piles of them. And if you want and you pay attention to that, it will completely obscure the magnificence of who you are as a person. And I think that from day one of our cells becoming specialized and turning into heart and lungs and eyeballs and whatever, and you come into this world, you are a total miracle. It's amazing things happen the way they do, as routinely as they do. And the idea that you're an original, that there's no one else that will ever be like you, that will walk the earth again, that you have a unique path and perspective, and that together we all make something. You know, gratitude is the nurturing part. It's the opposite of self-hatred. It's taking the things that are good and making them and nurturing them. You know, it's like growing a garden. Like, what are you fertilizing the garden with? Is it poison? Because you'll just kill everything. If you fertilize it with, or if you treat a garden with only poison, nothing will grow. You have to have the process, the processes in place, the actions, the behaviors that create what is good in your life, because it's already good. It was already good to begin with. And we make mistakes and we do things. Listen, you know, for anybody who is reading this book, who's thinking about picking up the book, I am painfully open in the book. I really lay myself out there, because what I want to model is that every single thing that happens to you, everything that you become, has a purpose and a lesson in it. And so even from the worst situation, if you can see the glimmer of hope, which is packaged up in gratitude, you'll find the energy to climb out of the valley. That's the thing. Self-hatred strips you of energy. I mean, you just feel hopeless and overwhelmed and anxious. And, you know, you kind of think, well, I'll postpone it till tomorrow because look at what a mess I made of it. And if you, gratitude changes the lens and you look at who you are and you see, because you can look back, Phil, into a point in your life that was a disaster. I have plenty of mistakes. And now I can see what the benefit was. So an adult can now take that information and say, when you're in the middle of a disaster and you don't like yourself, here we are again. You are going to fast forward 5 years from now, look back and go, oh, that's what that was about. So to me, gratitude really is it's the same thing as the self-hatred, only you get more out of it positively.
Yeah. And I love the reminder that it's really an energy management principle.
It is.
Right. It helps us give ourselves more good energy and less bad energy, and really focus on the stuff that we want more of, because the more we think about the crap, the stuff that's wrong, the stuff that's missing, that's the lack of goodness, right? The worse it is. And I think, you know, as I coach my sales teams, right, and I think about this, you have to keep going, right? You have to focus on, okay, so I can make one more call, right? What can I control? I can make one more call. I can control that attitude. I can control the effort that I put in. I can control all those things. I can't control the customer. I can't control the prospect. I certainly can't control, you know, maybe the product team. I certainly can't control what marketing does, but I can absolutely offer some feedback and then I can feel better and release it and know that I did my absolute best. And I think that's really what the book's about.
It is,
right? It's all about giving our best every minute of what we have, regardless of what we're focused on and what we're doing, right? It doesn't matter if you're in sales, if you're a leader, whatever, take the 1440 and slow down. And you say, you know, read the first four chapters. And I would say, read the first four chapters and then flip around.
Yeah.
Like, pick a chapter that you love. Like, one of the chapters that I love, by the way, first of all, I got to share your business card because I love this. I love your energy.
Thank you.
I love your energy. That's one of the things that I think is best about you, is I love your energy. And this card absolutely shows it. So if you haven't got you put it in the book, right? Because I got an autographed copy. Ha ha ha, right?
So yes,
you have an autographed copy too, if you get this. But one of the principles that you talk about is one that I'm going to tell you, I just self-admit, I know I need to do better at. And that is just say no. Mm. In fact, one of my friends, she gave a program a couple of weeks ago and she said, you know, no thank you is a complete sentence.
Yeah.
And I forget that. I miss that. So why do we miss that? And then how do we make that better, Liz?
I mean, it's a principle, it's a financial principle that is applied to a greater resource, which is time. You know that you can't say yes to everything because you only have if you're at the store and, you know, we go to Target or we go to some place like that, and it's sometimes hard to say no, but ultimately, you know that you have this limited resource that is whatever amount of money that you have in your bank account, and that you can't, no is almost more important than yes, because you can say yes to anything in the store. if you have a certain amount of money, let's say you have $20, you can say yes to anything that's $20 or less. And you can walk around and find hundreds of things, maybe thousands of things that are under $20. Maybe you have 500, maybe you have 1,000, but you know that that money, it's not unlimited. And so the same concept holds true for time. And in fact, it's even more invaluable because, you know, you can find another dollar, like you can accumulate more dollars and spend them. And you can't accumulate more time. Like you're only given what you're given. But no, I mean, okay, so you have 20 minutes that you could watch, you could stream a show, 20 minutes that you could sleep an extra 20 minutes, 20 minutes to go to McDonald's, 20 minutes to think about something that you did wrong. Obsess about what somebody said. You have also 20 minutes to invest in a talent. You have 20 minutes to get back into it when you've been shut down. Like, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so I hear no a lot. And I have only so much time. You know, something funny, you know, I don't always meet people. I often ask people to meet me in my office if they're in town. And part of that's because I only have so much time in the day and I've hit my stride. And I really think about the time I spend in the car going to someplace. Is that going to get me what I want? It really has changed my relationships, my romantic relationship, my friendships, because I think about what am I giving my time to? And is it going to be worth it? And no is an important part of that. So, you know, it's not that hard. You just think about going shopping and it's like you wake up and you start shopping immediately. You start shopping for thoughts, shopping for actions and behaviors, shopping for results. And you have to think yes and no are tools to help you get to that place.
Love that. I love that, right? It's all about being intentional, all about prioritization, all about investing your 1440. So, folks, if you haven't gotten a copy of this book yet, I encourage you to go get a copy. Go pick it up on Amazon, or better yet, I'm going to share the screen here. I want to encourage you. You want to check out the 1440 principle, right? You want to get a copy of this book because it is truly fantastic. It is super easy. So I'm going to share this, right? This is the book. You can get an autographed copy for just $15 plus shipping and handling. So you can get a little sample here, lizneed.com, N-E-A-D. Tells you what the book is about. It's got Liz's great energy here. I encourage you, check this out. Get a copy of the book, right? So see what you can do there to pick this up, to find out how you can start investing your 1440. So Liz, if you had a favorite tip, one more that you'd like to give folks that they can use to get started really investing in the 1440 principle, what would it be?
I would say this, you have a blueprint. You know whether you're paying your time to things that are going to get you somewhere or things that are holding you back. And today is the day to listen and read your blueprint and be fearless and make the decisions that you need to make. You already know what you need to know. It's just up to you to move in the direction of the life that you've always wanted.
Oh, did I lose you, Liz? Are you still there?
Yeah. I'm just, can you hear me?
Keep going.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. Cool. Yeah,
That's my tip. Do you want me to do it again?
Yeah, hit me one more time with that because it kind of blepped out. I'm sorry. Hit me again one more time. So this funny. Time with feeling.
Woo. Okay. You know, my big tip is that, you know, you've been given these minutes. You are like right now, you could just, you know, touch your pulse and one by one, seconds are ticking off, minutes are ticking off. And, you know, there's a reason why you're here. And the big thing is to recognize that you were not born without instructions. You have inside of you a blueprint for your best life possible, the life that is needed for your community, the voice and the thoughts, the actions that are needed for your community. And so rather than looking around and seeing what else other people are doing and operating as a group, my request to you is that you listen and you think about whether the things that you're thinking and doing are moving you towards your best life possible. And what I know after 10 years of coach, over 10 years of coaching, is that you already know whether or not those actions, those thoughts are getting you there. And so if they're not, it's time to cut them out. It's time to be brave and courageous and minimize the relationships that don't help you, to make plans to get rid of the things that are stressing you out, creating anxiety, see the lessons and move forward in a positive way, because you are paying your minutes to something. And it ultimately is your choice to pay your minutes to something that matters.
Awesome. Great, great suggestion. Great principle. Love the book. Folks, if you don't have a copy yet of The 1440 Principle by Liz Need, you need to get it. You get it real easy at LIZNEAD.com. Check it out. Click on the new book. Go to Amazon. Get it. But I encourage you, get connected with Liz Need. She's fantastic. Tons of energy, tons of insight, and just a fireball of help. So check her out. Go to LizNeed.com. Hopefully this makes your day. Have a great one. See you later, everyone.